Justin,
63.
See, this is your fucking job, man. I'm all, you know.
I think you only had one job tonight, Justin. You know, really? I mean, that's it. That's how we start every episode.
I wasn't prepared for that. Well,
you fucking got.
That's
be
the
prepared.
Only question we have at the beginning, Justin.
I know. Let's see.
This fucking
I'll tell
guy.
You right now. Was I right? 63. I was right.
All right. Okay.
Oh, you questioned yourself. That's the problem.
All right. 63. Episode 63. Johnny's already crying because I got the air conditioner on. He's telling me to take my jacket off.
Listen, I wasn't on my phone. I thought I did good. I wasn't on my phone. Now it's the air conditioner.
All right. Tonight we got a special guest. Francis Frank the Tank Hogan, professional fighter out of Weymouth?
Weymouth, yep.
Out of Weymouth, Massachusetts. I've been seeing Frank fight since... Jimbo Curran first told me about you at the Golden Gloves. Give him the gloves.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
A while ago. And he's like, oh, this kid's got a big amateur record. You know, a lot of knockouts. You had a monster amateur record, if I remember correctly. A ton of amateur fights.
Yeah, I had like 219 amateur fights.
That's insane.
219?
Yeah. But I lost like my first 40 because me, my dad, and my brother, we traveled the entire country. And at the time, I was fighting kids that had like 100 fights. I had 12 fights. And I get in there and they beat my ass. But then the tables just turned one day. We kept going to the gym. I kept sparring all these great fighters down in Rhode Island at Big Six Boxing and around like with Mark DeLuca, Bayshore, and Braintree. And next thing you know, I get in there and I remember it clear as day. I fought this kid the weekend before. He beat my ass. And that next weekend, I got in there and fought him again. Fucking dropped this kid in the third round. And that's when I knew. I was like, all right. Now the tables are going to turn.
Were you shocked when you dropped them, or did you, you know, you kind of felt it?
I thought I would be shocked when I first dropped somebody, but I looked at him and then I just looked at my corner and walked over and started taking my gloves off. My dad was like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, he's not getting up.
Yeah, I knew you had a ton of amateur fights. Shout out Jimbo Curran. Jimbo goes a lot of cards. He's like Cleo and Lowell. Cleo's an old timer. He used to own the Highland Tap where Mickey, you know, would always go in there. We all went in there, and he goes to every amateur card. He's all over the place, Maine, everywhere. Like I said, he's like 91 now, and he still goes to a lot of them.
He still comes up to the gym. He makes it up the stairs.
Yeah.
And fucking we get him a roller chair, and he rolls around the gym and watches a workout.
Yeah. Jimbo's the best. And I didn't see he didn't get out of can of soda this year. I think he had an operation or something. But Jimbo's been – he's a fixture at the Golden Gloves in Lowell also. He's been going there every year. They actually called him in the ring a couple of years ago because he's gone like, you know, whatever, fucking 40 years in a row or something. Yeah. Something fucking – something crazy. But that's when I first heard of you and saw you fight, and I believe you stopped the kid that night. You what was your amateur record in the end?
It was like 160 and like 50 something losses.
Yeah. So once you got those 40 out of the way, you turned it on. How many knockouts, you know?
Close to 60. I know that. We were counting them up.
Yeah, there was a lot of them.
I had like four because they gave us like books. They look like passports. And there was like three fights that you could put on one page. And there was like 40 pages or whatever in a book. And I had a bunch of them. So we were going through them, but some of them were just so fucking old and falling apart. I couldn't read some of them. But yeah, we were counting them up. I was just like, wow. Like, and I never thought about being able to do that. I just kept going to the gym and fighting. Next thing you know, I look at my thing. I'm like, holy shit, I have 200 fights. Like,
yeah. So that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, when people turn really. In this day and age, there's not that many fights. Amateur's different, I guess, if you were busy like you and you had a father like you bringing you around everywhere. But, you know, even the pros now, you don't see it compared to, you know, when I was growing up. They had a ton of fights. They were a lot more busy. Now it's, you know, it's night and day compared to what it was then. You don't see that many fights. A lot of fighters don't stay busy.
They want to pick and choose their fights. You know, everyone wants to get as many wins as they can, and then they get a loss and they're in their head and they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. I'm like, all right, maybe this isn't for you, because if you're questioning yourself after losing once, and I tell them my story and they're like, oh, that makes me feel a little better. And I'm like, well, I fucking hope so. You're 20 something years old. Like, a lot of guys are starting late nowadays too.
How old are you?
So I'm 24.
Yeah, well, that's a big jump from 20, or?
I mean, well, coming like through the amateurs, I started boxing. I was like 10 or 11. But like, I'm young for like having 20 pro fights, being 24 years old.
And now
like,
you're 20-0 in your professional career, right? You're undefeated.
Undefeated.
Yeah, and was that last fight that we seen in Lowell, was that your last fight?
Yeah, that was my last fight.
That was a hell of a fight.
That kid was tough,
too. That kid was tough.
Slinging crazy shots. That kid
was tough. I thought, I was like, yo, this is a close fight until you killed him at the end, obviously.
Yeah.
Didn't I announce the winner of that fight?
Yeah.
You did.
I just looked at the reel, Mike, and you were in the ring.
You look over, you're standing there with the microphone.
Jake took the picture while you were in the ring.
Yeah, the kid that does the Boston Lean.
Yeah, that's Jake Scally, our friend Jake.
Me and my buddy always watch his videos at work.
Yeah.
And I look over and I just was like, I'm looking for my buddy. I'm like, look who's in the ring. Like, this is crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had him filming me.
Yeah, that's funny. He's standing there with a cigarette in his mouth recording you. I'm laughing.
Playing the pie. Oh,
that was great.
Speaking of that, that was a CES Jimmy Birchfield card up in Lowell. And he's doing another one September 6th in Lowell. Yep. If anyone needs tickets, hit me up. How come you're not on that card?
I was going to fight on the card, but then Mark, who's my trainer, but he also helps manage me, was
Mark Monero?
Mark Toluca.
Yeah, Mark Monero Toluca.
He's been going back and forth with Jimmy and stuff like that, so working on something, but I don't know. Hopefully.
Is there a chance that maybe you'll fight in that card? No.
Probably not.
It's tough to find somebody, too, on short notice.
Yeah, short notice.
Not everyone's just going to walk in against you unless someone, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to get paid, you know, like
payday, yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. One of those fighters. I stay in the gym anyways. I've been working out every day, just doing strength and conditioning twice a week. I'm in the gym boxing the rest of the week. Only day I take off is Sunday. Everybody usually says it's for the Lord's Day, but I say it's for bedtime because all I do is sleep Sunday.
Yeah,
I don't do anything else.
So going back, we got to touch on Mark DeLuca, who's the fucking absolute best. Every time I hear Staying Alive by the Bee Gees or anything, I think of fucking Saturday Night Fever, Tony Monero. That's where I get Marky Monero.
There's a kid from East Boston named Mark Monero, too. That's funny.
But going back to what you said about it's a dangerous thing to do, where a lot of, like you said, they'll put guys in, they'll pick and choose. And then, you know, you need to have some competition, because some guys will build up their records and, you know, pad their stats, like they say in baseball, right? And then they throw you in there with somebody who's a world-class fighter, and it can, you know. I mean, if that's your goal, you know, as a boxing trainer, right, to get you a guy and protect him and get him in the ring and build up all these wins on nobodies, but then you throw him in there with a guy, you know, for what? For one big payday? I mean, you know, you can get hurt. I mean, if that's your goal, it'll work.
It's usually that one big payday, quote unquote, that they are talking about usually is like the guy has he's never fought anybody. He has no like amateur pedigree anyways, and he has no real experience. So he's going to get in there and some promoter is going to be like, oh, this kid has a pro record of 15-0 and he's got 15 knockouts, hasn't fought anybody. Everybody has a losing record. They're going to give him 10 or 15 grand. I fought on TV for what? Yeah. 10 or 15 grand. You could have worked a day job and got a decent job, and you could have made that in less than a month, you know? It's just like, I don't know. Like, that's not what I look for when we're doing this. Like, I built up a little bit of a record, got to like 15-0 and was fighting guys that weren't great, but I was every fight has been a fighter better than the last one. And
yeah.
The last two fights I fought, the last guy, everyone was like sleeping on him. And I slept on him a little bit. I got in there, oh, I'm going to smoke this guy. And then.
Was that what you thought?
He was, yeah. And then I get in there and he hit me. And I'm like, oh shit, this guy can punch, and he threw punches from weird angles, and he came forward. Unorthodox. He wasn't scared of me. He got in there like, I'm going to kill this kid. And
that's he was the Venezuelan kid, Mike, we talked to afterwards, right? Yeah. Venezuelan? Venezuelan?
Yeah.
Nice and kid, too.
The guy before that, I fought at Foxwoods a couple months before this past fight. It was Kyrie Gray, who was like making a big return. He just like got done on the streets and all the stuff he was saying. But he had a huge record. Like, he's fought two world champions, like legitimate world champions. He's fought other fighters on TV that have beat him, and then they go and fighting for a world title. So like, he had a huge career, and I got in there and went 10 rounds with him and beat him on unanimous decision. Like, I looked good doing it too. Like, so it's like all about the experience now, and fighting guys that are more experienced and have been in there with these guys that are killers, you know? Because if I can get in there and bang with these guys, then like, all right, we're in the right direction. Like, I know if I get a phone call, oh, you want to fight Colin Walsh, who called me out, who actually is fighting Fernando Vargas Jr.
Yeah, he is. Colin Walsh.
Who I beat in the amateurs in the last tournament I fought, and I beat him on a unanimous decision. I remember his dad, I dropped him in the third round.
I met the old man for.
I'll have to send you the video of it. I got the chip. It's like wicked clear, too. It's me in the third round hitting him with a left hand. He fucking goes down on his ass. And I remember him looking up at me, and he got in there all cocky, sticking his tongue out at me. I remember him looking up at me like, who the hell is this kid? Like, that's what's awesome. Like,
what a great feeling.
It was the best. And I remember looking over at his dad, and I was like, you're fucking next to his dad. You know, like the man who I love. Yeah. In my head, I'm like, at the time, I'm like, I'll fuck him up too. Like, his dad like runs upstairs. He's like yelling and screaming at me. And then after the fight, I go over, I'm like, hey, listen, like, I didn't mean anything by it. Like,
yeah.
But like, they're fighting the co-main event of the
Crawford
versus Crawford Canelo. That's fucking massive.
That's huge. I want to go down. I got to talk to Dickie, you know.
Yeah.
Dickie Jr. is with Callum Walsh, you know.
Yeah.
And Wild Card. So, you know, it's last. I'm always last second, but I want to go down and
Callum Walsh called me out, but nothing ever came of it. So I'll take the winner or the loser. I want the winner of Fernando Vargas versus.
So you want Callum Walsh?
I want Callum Walsh. Yeah,
fucking go.
That's right.
That's gonna be the winner.
There it is, right there. You just
I'm ready any day. So
that guy.
I think I'm gonna fly down there though for that.
I'll
go down there for that. Yeah.
That is a huge fight, and to touch on that a little bit, what do you think about about the weight with Crawford and stepping up to fight Canelo? Is Canelo going to be too powerful? I love Bud Crawford.
Yeah.
Every time I see him fight, he just destroys people.
His last fight, though, you could tell the weight was a little bit of a problem. And Canelo is just going to be like,
so strong.
He's strong compared to like he got in there with Bivol and still looks strong. He lost.
Yeah, Dimitri Bivol there, right?
He ate what Bivol had. And Bivol's next man size above him, you know? Like,
yeah.
And he got in there with him. I'm like, all right. I just don't see Crawford making it. I don't think he's going to go the distance with Canelo. I think Canelo takes him deep and takes him out.
Whenever you see Canelo fight, when someone's like that who can bang, it's like the first couple of rounds, you think the other person got a shot. And then it's like, then Canelo just starts
breaking
and,
you down. Yeah, he's eating your body, eating you up.
Yeah.
He's tough. That's kind of what you did in this last fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This kid come out like gangbusters. Then you started, neutalize him. And then he was like, oh, this is what this is all about. You know what I'm saying?
I think he wore him down too. Like, I don't think he, I don't know.
Yeah, when I went back to the corner after the first round, Mark was like, does he punch hard? I was like, fuck yeah, he punches hard. And Mark was like, all right. He was like, this is the game. We got seven more rounds. He was like, so just
keep pressing him. He wasn't built to last.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like, you'll get him out of here. Like, you just got to keep on it, keeping his face, like moving your head, keeping your hands up. He was like, just don't get hit with risky shit. Because in the first round, I kind of came out with my hands up, like just feeling him out. And he winged a shot up under my elbow that I didn't even see. Hit me. Ooh. I was like, oh shit, like
felt out.
That woke me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just got in there, broke him down, and took him out. I was trying to do that to the kid I fought before him, Kyrie Gray, but he was a little bit smarter of a fighter. But I proved that I was.
Who else was on that Foxwoods card? What was the main event?
I was the main event.
You were?
I was.
Nice.
Nice. Nice, right, nice. Mike? That's an accomplishment. That's great.
Because I know the kid, what's the kid from Brockton? Is it Kevin Walsh?
Kevin Walsh, yeah.
Kevin Walsh is on that LOL card September 6th. And he just fought recently. I think it was Mohegan Sun. So I didn't know if that was who you're talking about. One of the, because someone wanted me to go to a fight he had down there in Connecticut, but I was away. And yeah, he's going to be headlining the LOL card.
Yeah, he's
pretty sure.
He's tough, man. He really is. He was in there today with Mark DeLuca in the gym this morning. Yeah. I didn't go there. I had strength and conditioning. But yeah, he's a good, he's a class act too. He's a good yeah. kid. He really is. Yeah.
Yeah. We follow each other on the gram. And Mark DeLuca is the best. My, one of my favorite Mark DeLuca stories is he asked me for a Bean Shooter t-shirt. Like, I don't know, you know, it was like 3-4 years ago. And he was, Johnny, what are you doing over there?
I'm yeah, Mike. Johnny, y'all talking, Mike. Johnny, the camera's not on me right now, yeah, Mike.
So I give him a Bean Shooter t-shirt and he's going to do something and he's trying to, you know, do it on the down low, you know, I don't know, whatever he's doing, you know, and he's going to meet someone, maybe a girl. I don't know what he's doing. He's going to meet someone at Dunkin' Donuts, but he's jogging. And all of a sudden, this car's like honking at him and screaming out the window, and like kids are hanging out the window, and he's fucking like, "What the fuck are they?" They loop around, and they're like, "Bean Shooter." And he's like, looks down at the shirt, and he's like, "Yeah, I ripped that right off, threw it in the trash." I think he gave it to the kids in the car or something. Bad move, Mark. But we got to get Mark on here. But he's so humble and low key, you know?
Yeah, like, it'll be hard to get him on here.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. But
he's probably in bed right now, actually. He goes to bed pretty early.
Really?
He wakes up at like 5 every single day.
Yeah, that's bananas. I got to get in some type of routine like that, you know? The 5 a.m. You know?
No, I can't do it no more.
Spiro's trying to get me to go to the gym like that at 5:30.
It's too. It's a great thing because you're done with everything. You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Then when you got to go out at night,
and now you're dead. Yeah, yeah, I'm saying, you know, we live at night, Mike. You know. Yeah, hey, you know what? I have a question for you. This is always I've always often wondered about this. Now you're a guy. You're a fighter.
Yeah.
How much? Because you know, Mike Tyson says everybody got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Now you get a punch. You get punched in the face. You're in a fight. How much do you listen to the trainers in the corner when you come in for that round? Or are you just like, I know what I got to do. I've already encoded. I already got a strategy what I'm going to do. This kid hits like that. How much do you listen to the people in your corner?
Well, everybody, if a good fighter has a good corner, I believe, like Matty Ryan and Mark DeLuca, especially Matty, like they, when they're both in the corner watching me in the round itself before I come back to the corner, they're both discussing and talking, and Matty usually is telling me, he'll break it down and tell me exactly what I need to do when I go back out there. And it's so clear. And like, I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah. I can see exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Like I'm a good fighter. I have a lot of experience. I know exactly what you're talking about and this is going to work.
You can like, envision what he's saying. Like, wow. That's
when I fought at Foxwoods 3 fights ago, there was the dude I was fighting. I remember going back to the corner or I went by my corner. It was in the first round. Matty was just looked at me and went like, and I was just like, oh, I know exactly what he means. Like I just from training and working out around him and being with him for so long, like he's like, keep throwing the jab, give him something up top and then give him something down low. And I took him out with a body shot right after that. Matty was like, see, like, it's just like a good corner. Every good fighter should have a good corner. And most of the time they do, you know, like they listen to their corner men, because if they don't, usually that's when people get hurt. And if you don't listen to your corner men, you're probably not listening to people in the gym, so you probably didn't train correctly. Like, you know, I just feel like that's
good point.
That's the good thing about having a good team. And as long as you can open your head up to them and listen to them and take all the advice, like Mark DeLuca even tells me now, like even the people that don't know anything about boxing, he's like, sit there and listen to what they got to say. Take their advice. You don't have to use it, but hear them out. He was like, just who gives a shit, you know, like. Anything is good, I guess, you know, even the bad advice. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll make sure I never do that. Like,
right, you know, exactly. At least,
like, fucking, because unless you're told or you see it, you're not going to know unless, you know, unless you, till you fuck it up or something. Then you're going to be like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have did that. But good corner, good fighter, good corner. That's what I believe.
Interesting.
So, couple things. Now, that had to be really gratifying for Matty and you, right? When he tells you, you know.
Get
him up and then, you know, hit him to the body and you fucking drop the kid with that. But also, how was it? Was your father really involved in your, like in your corner, your whole amateur thing? And then how do you go from your father? Was that a tough transition to go from your old man in the corner to Maki and Matty? And how was that transition and how did that come about?
It's a little funny. that you ask. So it wasn't hard at all. So he was in the corner for a couple of my pro fights. Me and him got our issues and stuff now, so he hasn't been in the corners and stuff. And I'm not really on a talking basis with him. But when I was in the amateurs, if you listen to any of the fights that I have on video, I don't care if the people are on the other side of the arena, you will hear my dad screaming. And he says shit, and he don't hold back. He'll be like, get on that motherfucker now. And then the ref comes over in between rounds, like, listen, I'm going to take point. He's like, fuck you, kind of. I'm like, whoa, you're going to get me disqualified. Like, yeah. But he just didn't, that was him.
No filter.
He didn't have a filter. Like, that just was him. But he got his point across in the amateurs, because in the amateurs, if you're taking 2 seconds to stand in front of a guy and you guys aren't throwing punches, you're not going to win a fight.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you got 3 rounds. Like, they're looking for points. I wasn't really looking for points. I was looking to kill people. But, and, you know, I'm looking for points too. I'm trying to throw as many punches as I can. Like, but it wasn't really a hard transition. It was actually nice hearing somebody that had, like, nothing against my father being in the corner, but having a little bit of, like,
restraint
to not say anything until I get into the thing and then break down whatever they're trying to tell me. Because it's not really that, I don't know, what do you call it? Like, go out there and get on him. That's not really constructive, you know? Like, I need
to take his fucking head off.
Yeah. Like,
I get
and it's your father, too. No, so, yeah. I mean, you're used to, like, you're just commanding, you know, like, you know?
But I like it. I like that Maddie and Mark are in there and they're able to, like, tell him. They don't fill my head. Like, they don't sit in front of me like, oh, listen, I think you got to do this, this, and that. And if you want to do this, too, like, that, there's none of that shit. I have 1 minute. I want water. I don't want to talk to anybody. Put the ice on my back. If I get cut, do my cuts. And I got Maddie and Mark. They say 2 or 3 words to me. And that's like,
that's it, huh?
And I'm like, all right, I'm good. That's all I need to know. We've been so in sync in the gym that I'm like, oh, all right, that's it. That's all I need. I'm good. I go back out there. I know exactly what I got to do.
And Mark's been in the corner for some big fights.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. And he's been in some big fights too, you know, like, and he's been doing goes and does guys like weight cuts with them now and does their like cuts. He's all into the cuts. He's getting into the cuts for fighters. He wants to get into that. He does all our cuts now. We don't have to pay anybody. No one has to come in the corner. Really? We don't have to look for anybody.
Cut me was always a big thing. And, who do you have? Al Gavin? Who do you have?
Joe? We usually would have Farrakhan, which I loved having Farrakhan there. But now, like, Farrakhan would have to wrap my hands and do my cuts. But now Mark knows how to wrap hands. And I'm telling you, he's probably one of the best guys wrapping hands right now.
Really?
He can wrap hands better than anybody. Well, Mark's
lived
in
the gym for the last fucking 20 years, probably.
And he goes to all, like, since he got out of the Marines, all these guys that are really good at wrapping hands. So, like, you know, all the top rank fights a lot. You know, stuff like that. So he's all around these guys that know how to wrap hands. Like, top rank pays guys just to wrap hands and do cuts. Like,
I saw him in the corner. What's the kid from the Dominican Republic there? He had
Polanco?
No. Oh man. But it was a world championship fight and he got robbed. He got robbed. That was a tough one, man. I'll think of it after. But yeah, that was a big one, you know. I mean, watching on TV, like, oh shit, there's Mark in the corner. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's it's always right. cool to see something like that, you know.
That is.
But Mark's the best and so Mark and Spunky they go together great, huh?
Oh yeah, they do. Maddie always says he's like the mother and Mark's like the dad.
Yeah.
If Mark says something, you better do it. Matt will be like, I'll give you a little leeway, but yeah, you should probably do that, like, when we're training and working out and stuff. Mark will crack the whip on us.
What about Abraham? Did Abraham just fight this last weekend, or is it coming up next weekend?
No, he just fought this past weekend.
Did he? What happened?
It's a good fight. It went the distance. I mean, the kid beat him, but they're going to have him back. Right after the bell rang, that last bell, the announcers were like, we love this kid. We want to have him back.
Really?
He said he got a little gas, you know, he didn't have that much time to, like, train or anything, but he was already working out and training, because when you don't have a promoter, you get a call like that for a big fight. And, like,
yeah, you're not saying no.
Are you going to either take it or not, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like the last 3 rounds I'm watching it. He's lining the guy up and you could tell the guy was scared because he wasn't even trying to do anything.
Really?
He was just trying to run and point him. That's how he was beating Abraham, pointing and moving, but Abraham's just lining him up and it's scary when Abraham's coming at you like that. He's 30 pounds lighter than me. And I don't like when he does that to me when we've, like, moved around. Yeah. He whacks me.
He's waiting to unload.
Yeah.
Unload one.
It was a good fight.
Ah, that sucks. I was wondering. I didn't know if it was this week coming up or it just happened. But, yeah.
Yeah, they're what are they, like 5 or 6 hours ahead of us? So the time difference is a little messed up. Saudi Arabia.
Oh, really?
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. Jesus.
So it was like,
it's gonna be a nice trip.
That would be a really nice trip.
Not if you ask Mark DeLuca.
Really?
He'd rather be home. Sent me a video on Snapchat. It was him walking around. He's like, I don't know anybody here. There's big buildings everywhere. He's like, it's hot. He's like, this sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a fan. Mark's not a fan of Saudi Arabia. No. So any fights on anything you're eyeing right now? Anything in the works?
No. Me and Mark's thing is I just show up to the gym. That's what Mark tells me. Show up to the gym.
And the phone's going to ring.
When the phone rings, Mark will figure it all out. I mean, I think he looks at me more like a little brother because I've been around him for a long time. Yeah. And I'm more than 10 years younger than him. And he's seen me when I was just a killer. I'd get in there and just wing shots, and I was a bully in there. And that's all I knew how to do.
Yeah, just trying to take somebody out. Now
I'm like a boxer, and I have tools in my toolbox. And like, he's teaching me all this stuff, you know, like, and drilling it with me. So I think he wants to look out for me. Honestly, Mark wants to look out for all the fighters in the gym. Even guys that have managers, Mark will still be like, no, I don't want you to do that. And like, Mark kind of like, he has everybody's back. He's out for the fighter's best interest. He's not out for the promoter, manager. He don't give a shit about them. Because Mark was a fighter, you know? Mark knows what it's like to get fucked on all sides of it and not be able to do anything.
Mark fought down in Cartagena recently, and I was so pissed.
Did he?
I was so pissed that he didn't fucking tell me because I would have loved it. It was like a smoker. It was it was probably, you know, I say lately, it was probably a year and a half ago now because time fucking flies. But going back to when, you know, you were a little nutty in there, when you were just going in and winging it, and Mark being like an older brother, I was just curious as to, like, what he said. Well, going back a couple of years ago, we were in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Remember, I was on the float behind you. I was in Peter Welch's float.
Yep.
And then there was a little Donnybrook up ahead, and, you know, we found out that it happened to be you, and there was somebody stretched out on the sidewalk. So what did can we talk about this?
Yeah.
All right. So
I wasn't there. Listen, I think I witnessed
after it happened. After it happened, it could not have been me. That's just hearsay. But after it happened, what I was told is after 2 years, you can talk about it. So it's been 2 years. That.
Okay. All right. Like, so what did Mark, you can tell us about what happened. And then what did Mark say and Maddie and stuff? You know, was he pissed at you? Did they just, you know, like what was?
So kid was I was in the parade. I had a float in the parade. We were all having a great time. Everyone was on my float.
He had the loudspeaker and, with the microphone. I needed that.
Everyone heard me.
He said, listen, there she is as we're going on his float.
Getting on it. Oh, yeah. And my girlfriend's friend fell off the float. The float stopped short, which never happened. So I knew something went on. We jumped off the float. Her friend's like laid out on the ground. So they're all picking her up and stuff. And I look and there's this kid saying bizarre kind of racist stuff to the girl who fell off the float, who's out unconscious on the ground. So I'm like, all right, what's going on?
I didn't even know.
So I start like kind of walking towards him, and I'm like asking him, like, you're not a gentleman. Like, you're a piece of shit. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. I guess he saw the 6 stitches I had on my face from 2 days before I fought at the Aganis Arena. And I guess he thought he was going to beat my ass. So kind of got in my face. And once he hit his head off my face,
He tried headbutting you?
He tried to. He leaned in like this real quick, and I kind of pulled back, and his hair grazed my face. And I was like, all right.
That's time.
Now you're going to get it because something's going to happen. So, yeah, hit him with the I told Michael Farrakhan about it. He thought it was funny. I hit him with the 2-3-3.
All right, let's break down the 2-3-3.
So the 2 is a left hand, and then I hit him with 2
we
hooks.
We know what it is, but explain to the audience.
Doubled up on the right the hook.
Yeah, I jumped in with a 3, hit him, and his back leg kind of put him back forward. I was like, oh, that's unfortunate, and I hit him again.
And listen, for somebody that might have seen the video, he looked like, I don't know if you ever seen an accordion, how it just when it drops like that. Yeah. That's exactly kind of what it looked like if we did see the video.
Yeah.
So it was fun. The parade was fun that year. It was funny, though. The guy that was doing my DJing was from Southie. And the rest of the way out, they had to have a police escort with the rest of my float, but they still got to be in the parade. And he's yelling on the microphone, "Frank the Tank couldn't make the rest of the parade. He's out fighting justice." And, yeah, it was funny.
So what did you do? You took off running? Like, you didn't get back?
I ran back up on the float and took the high ground because I saw the other his football teammates that were bigger than him running out of the street. And the cops were, the police officers were behind them. I remember hearing
there's a crowd chasing
you. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm not going to get tackled and then get the boots put to me. So yeah, I'm like, I'm at least going to get on the float so they have to climb up, you know, and then I can fight.
Yeah,
my way out of it, or kick him in the face, or something. Yeah, you know, it turns into like life or death, is what I thought. Like, all right, fuck this, I'm not gonna get beat up. So I jumped on the float. A couple of them jumped on the float. I had a couple of my friends from Weymouth, Liam and Zach, on the float with me. They're pretty nutty kids, and those kids got thrown off pretty quick. I think one kid might have got kicked in the face. Yeah, Mark wasn't too happy about it.
Yeah,
he was like, "That's your one like time that you're gonna like." Be able to like not get away with something like that, you know, but like,
well, yeah, could have been bad. You could have got arrested, you could have got hurt,
could have fallen in his head and died.
Yeah,
and then my boxing career on the float from that was all over, you know. I could be going to jail. Like, I was like, oh shit, he's right.
Yeah,
so I try to like, a good starting point. Don't go to jail today.
I try to like be extra cautious now. Even I've had people since then, me being me, every fighter is a little fucking nutty. Like, yeah, of course, I'll kill you. Like, I think about. Every time I walk into a restaurant, I'm like, all right, who's a threat in here? Like, that's how my mind works. We're fighters. Like, that's what we do. But I've had people be like, oh, where are you going? You're a pussy, you know? And I'm just like, yeah, I am a pussy. Like, have a good night. And it, honestly, I think it actually makes them madder. I'm like, oh, shit, what do I say? Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm leaving. Like, and they just follow you, you know? Everyone wants to be a tough guy, like Mike Tyson said, until they get punched in the face.
I know. It's so true.
You know, growing up and you know, being in the gym when I was younger and being in jail and all around, some of the toughest guys, whatever. I mean, you know, now, you know, wrestlers are always fucking tough. But the hottest punches I ever met were the tall, lanky guys with the long fucking arms.
Just snappy, long.
You know, those guys that just hit you and put you to fucking sleep. Yeah. That's some guy.
Like Tommy Hearns, like when he hit Roberto Duran, it's just like whack. It's like anywhere baseball. He had never
been knocked out. You ever see when Duran, when Hearns hit him? He just went fucking.
He looked dead.
What a what a shot.
That probably took 5 years off his life.
Yeah, that fucking punch is unreal. One of the other things I show people, too, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It was Alexis Arguello when he hit Kevin Rooney. Hit him with the fucking left jab, a lefty. Hit him with the right jab, and it was right behind it. Boom! Just a textbook straight right down Main Street, right on the fucking button. And you see that, and you're like, holy shit! It's like the Hearns knockout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you get hit on the button like that, you know.
Everyone says like you're either born with it or you're not. I do believe because I've gotten in there with some guys, and they're snappy fighters, and I'm like, oh, the kid looks like he could punch hard. And then I get in there, and I've been hit in the face by them, and I look at them and I'm like, that's all you got? Like, that's it?
Yeah.
Like, you look strong. You got muscles. Like, I don't look like I have muscles. And then I hit them and they're like wobbling around the ring, and I'm like, the fuck is going on? Like, I guess you are born with it, but
it's
all really in your hips and just how snappy you are. I feel like that's what I think personally.
But yeah, like, it's a testament to, like, you know, Mickey and Vinny Paz. You see these guys that fought their whole career and never got knocked out. You know what I mean? It's fucking, it's pretty amazing.
Mickey never got knocked out?
No. There's got to be some luck involved too, but obviously you just got a fucking head like granite, you know? Mickey's got a head like fucking, like Mickey a fucking brick wall. Mickey never got
knocked out?
No.
Wow.
Never. I don't know if Dickie
Shout out to Mickey. For the press conference, the press media workout for the last fights in Lowell.
At Sean's gym?
Yeah, so I was there.
Yeah.
And then that night, my buddy Bernard Renzel Josephs was fighting up in Maine.
Oh, they drove out there. Sean and Mickey.
So I drive up there, and who do I run into?
Yeah, that's crazy. Mickey,
and I'm like, what the fuck? So he ends up giving me a free hat, though, and the hat's sick, and I wear it most days at work. So shout out to Mickey.
He's never given me a free hat. Known him since 1970.
You don't even know him, though, Mike.
Known him since 1975. No free hat.
If you want, I can get you a free hat.
This kid's got a connection, obviously.
Listen, Frank, can you get it signed?
I'll get it signed,
I really like that.
So someone was like, oh, I got a glove signed by a fighter, blah, blah, blah. I'll give it to you. And they gave it to me and it was Mickey Ward. And I was like, I'm going to throw this fucking thing away. They're like, oh, what do you mean? I was like, I'm only joking, but I see him like all the time. So.
Yeah, I know. Fucking. I
don't Gentlemen.
I was Gentlemen. When Mickey and Dickie were up in New York and that's what it was. This guy comes up to me and I'm with Dickie and he must have thought I was Mickey and he's got a glove and he's got a sharpie and he's like, can you sign this? I go, no, buddy, you don't want me signing your glove. He goes, I only got two people to sign it. And they're like, nobody. And I'm with Dickie and I grab the glove and it's Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks.
Oh, man.
I'm looking at him and Dickie goes, sign it. Just sign Gene Fulmer. I couldn't do it to the guy. I go, buddy, take this glove and bring it home. Just fucking put it. Leon and Michael.
Hey, he's Spinks. Lying. He wrote Bean Shooter, no Levi.
Yeah. That's the glove. You should have just signed Bean Shooter and said, I thought you wanted me to sign it.
But yeah, fucking. Going up there every year is great. Have you ever been Canastota to the Boxing Hall of Fame?
I've driven by it a couple times for tournaments. I've never been inside for the actual Boxing Hall of Fame. Yeah. That's another thing, actually. Jimbo Karin goes to every single year.
Yeah, he wasn't there this last year or the year before, I don't think. But he'd go every year. Hall of Fame induction weekend. It's always a great time. And you know who I got to know up there is... I'd see him up there every year, him and his sister, and we'd always shoot the shit, and he'd talk shit about the Celtics. We'd go back and forth. Was the kid Sebastian Fandora?
Oh, yeah?
You know him?
Yeah. He's a great fighter, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great fighter. He just had a big fight like a month or two ago. Who was it? Was it fucking Zoo? It's like Costa Zoo's kid, isn't it, or something he fought? But yeah, he knocked the kid. The kid didn't answer the bell, actually. He busted him up, split him open. And then the kid, he come back the last round, and he was fucking banging. The corner must have just said, hey, go out and shoot your load. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah, that's probably what they said.
Because he was banging, and he had a good round, and then he didn't answer the bell for the next round. It's because corner said, no. You know what I mean?
I wonder what payday he got.
Yeah.
Probably got a decent payday to fight him. Oh, yeah.
Because it was a rematch. They fought before, so it was a rematch.
I'm trying to think who it was. See, that's the one thing. Like, if someone's not in my weight class... Or like near my class, I don't really give a shit at what they're doing.
Right.
I'm like, that guy fights at 130. I don't put it. Unless it's like Abraham Nova, who I train with. Yeah, I watch his fights and stuff. But I don't like, not like into boxing for other weight classes. Right, I'm into boxing for myself.
What do you think about the kid Rashidi Ellis? We had him on here.
Speedy Rashidi. He's the best.
Man, that kid, like I seen him fight. I was like, you know.
Yeah, he's so fast. Your
fight and his fight that night were like, and I was going to leave.
Yeah,
but I stayed. No, yours was like the second to last, and then his was like the last.
Yeah,
and
was I was the co-main. He was the main.
Yeah. And there were the two best fights I seen in like forever. Because the kid Shea Wilcox.
Oh yeah, I know Shea really well. I know Dennis.
He's staying real busy, man. Great. He's staying real busy.
Yeah, great family. Fought, what, this past weekend?
He just fought, just won,
the distance.
Yeah,
I think he's 4-0. But Dennis is a dear friend of mine, and Mike's too. And we're gonna have them, that whole family, on the show too.
Is great.
Oh, the best, great guy. The best, a great family. Talented. Like the kid.
Yeah.
The kid's a football player. Football player. They got the Shea's a professional boxer. You know, like wow, what a family. Like
yeah, right? Jake went to what?
Brown University.
Right?
Yeah. And but I'm used to just seeing like Shea fight, because that's when Dennis asked me to get involved with Shea and come, you know, support him and stuff. It was a pleasure to do that. But that's a whole different league. Like when I seen you fight and I seen Rashidi Ellis fight, I was like, wow, this kid is.
When I first ever sparred him, I think Mark brought me up to their gym when it was in Somerville and they ended up moving it. I don't even know where they're doing.
Salem, New Hampshire.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I know they were bouncing around for a little while.
Yeah.
What are they at? The Christy Viegas gym that's up there?
I think that's who
it used to be an old Everybody Fights, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. This guy, Christy Viegas, actually used to work at Peter Welch's gym. He ended up buying the place.
Oh, right.
He made it his own gym. I forget what it's called, but I remember the first time I sparred him, Mark DeLuca brought me to Somerville. And I'm getting in there and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go out there and like do my thing. Because even when I first sparred Mark, I knew Mark's caliber of fighter. I knew he'd kick my ass, but I'm like, whatever. Unless he hits me and drops me, I'm just going to keep coming.
Right,
like,
of course.
You're not going to put me down. I'll just get up. Like, I've had this happen to me before. And I think that's what took a liking to Mark, but I tried to do that to Rashidi, and I was like, where the hell is he? Every time I blink, I'm getting hit in the face. But lately, I've adjusted to that a little bit. Yeah, Speedy Rashidi, man. He's got the fastest hands in there, I swear.
Really?
Yeah,
for sure. I was really impressed with him. Like I said, your fight and his fight, like when I seen that kid, the Venezuelan kid, I forget what his name was, but when he come out and he hit with a shot, I was like, wow. I know they were saying you were 20-0, you were all never lost in this building. But I mean, what took me by surprise, I was like, wow, this kid looks like he's going to beat you up. You know what I'm saying? Then you came back and showed why you were 20-0. You know what I'm saying? But then when I watched that fight and then I seen Rashidi Ellis fight, I was like, that just gave me a whole new, like, you know, Mike is like loves fighting, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been in prison for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So the local fighting scene, I just wasn't a part of it. Yeah. You know, but now with Mike and getting involved in with Dennis and Shay and seeing, I got like a deep appreciation for it. And your fight really made me appreciate it. And Rashidi Ellis as well. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to know we had that. And such a humble kid, such a sweetheart.
He's the best.
We had
him here. Family guy. Just a nicest
sweetheart.
Ever, yeah.
Yep. Okay, sweetheart. Rashidi Ellis.
Yeah.
One of the craziest things I've ever seen. Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, right?
Really?
I don't know if the craziest, but...
The weigh-in. He come in looking like he was fucking smoking crack for two weeks.
Well, I think he had to lose the weight.
He went... I could have fucking just walked up and just pieced him up. I go...
Take a shot with him,
Mike. If I ever could have got a W on Rashidi Ellis...
Nice. That was the day.
Walking to the weigh-in. He's stripped naked. Yeah. Hey, first he gets on the scales. No. The other guy weighs enough. Strips naked, they hold a towel in front of him. Still overweight.
Wow.
Takes off his earring.
Are you fucking serious?
Takes off his earring.
Yeah, you didn't see, they asked...
Gets on the scale again, he's still like 2 ounces over.
Yeah, when he was 2 ounces over, Mike was underneath his ball bag.
Yeah.
Blowing on it.
No, I was holding him up.
Get off the ground.
Yeah. I was holding him up like this to see the scales. They hung down to his knees. And
the myth rings true again. Yeah.
And sure enough, he was over 2 ounces.
You see what I'm saying?
And then he like put on his shoes and he like shuffled out like a 90-year-old man and walked up the street.
It was hot out that day, too.
Yeah.
Did you went to eat, Mike? I'm guessing if I was a betting man,
take a piss, you know what I mean? Mm. But apparently he'd already done that.
Numerous times, Mike. Numerous times, I would say.
But yeah, when I saw him taking off the earrings, I said, this is fucking bananas. And then, then he fights the next night.
He looks 30 pounds heavier.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was the craziest fucking transformation because we don't see all that stuff, right? Yeah. We go on, we fucking put the fight on.
Right.
We sit there and we watch it, right? I mean, you might see the final workout or a public workout, but you don't see the shit that, you know,
these That's guys the go through to make weight. Local fighters and like world-class fighters.
What?
Rashidi's a world-class fighter. Okay, he fucking cuts the weight. He does everything correctly. Like when he was cut weight. Yeah, he looked like he was smoking crack, but he also had a 12-pack, you know?
He shredded, no fat.
Like, that's the difference between these guys. Some guys get in there and they're a little pudgy and they're like, oh, I just want to have a couple pro fights.
Yeah.
Like, Rashidi's getting in there, like, he'll be 20 pounds heavier than he was the day before weighing.
Fucking the craziest fucking thing. How he, the difference.
Yeah, I'm glad I stayed, man.
You know, and then we're all watching it, right? And, you know, he come on here and we're all excited to see him fight. And I'm sitting there like, oh, man.
What's going to happen? This kid's going to get killed.
No, what if he doesn't make weight? That would suck. Right.
Yeah.
You know? Imagine you're that fucking close. That close.
Yeah, when you see guys like at the high class level, like when they're like 3 or 4 ounces over though, and if it's like for a world title or something, then the title will be not for
the fight. Yeah, they take it off. Yeah, you still fight.
If they still fight, that means that guy came in overweight. If he's like 3 ounces over, he's probably giving the other guy like $10,000 or $15,000 of his purse.
Oh, really?
Which is like, a lot.
Yeah.
What they're making. But nice like, chunk. It's a lot.
I'm
you got to get 15 grand because you couldn't cut 0.3 ounces.
Yeah.
That's defeating. That would haunt me.
Yeah.
Like.
Then what's he going to come weighing in at? He's already fucking overweight, you know?
Yeah.
That's another thing. But these guys where, I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm fucking way off base here, right? But has this been a thing always where guys come in the next day fucking 20 pounds heavy? You think it was like that in the 60s and 70s and 80s? Or is that just a new thing?
That's a new thing, right? It's a newer thing because back in the day, 15-round fights and stuff like that, you know, like they weighed in earlier that day. I'm pretty sure is how that would work.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have 24 hours to rehydrate and all this stuff. And also, there's a science behind it. You know, there really is. Like, what to eat when IVs you get off the scale. I don't know if anyone saw me, but I literally had 2 liters of water. Two liters of water. Spunky knows how to do it. He's the one that's good with cutting the weight in the baths and stuff like that and how to, like, get the weight sucked out of you.
I heard he's got to cut his own weight, right? Well, no.
That's a whole other story.
Just joking. Stay off the diet Pepsi, Spunk.
Oh yeah. threw my fucking head off.
Anyway, back to the story.
There's like a science though behind like cutting the weight but putting it back on too, like smart. Like the first like hour you should be drinking fluids, and like not just any fluids, like Gatorade or whatever. You should be like the LMNT packets and shit like that. Like they're like rehydration packets. They get like 200 milligrams of sodium and all this stuff. Like two of them in a liter and like all this stuff. And then you do like salts in one water and you slowly sip on it so you don't get diarrhea. Because usually, even though like Rashidi looked that way, if he chugged that water right after he got off it, even though he took him 2 hours to cut that 0.3 pounds, he'd either get sick or he'd have crazy diarrhea. It's just the way the body reacts to the water. It's like, holy shit. You just sucked me for everything, and now you're going to flood, drown yourself, basically, is what your body thinks. So it's just like, what do I got to do? I got to get this out of me.
Yeah, it's rejecting it. Yeah.
But, there's a whole science behind it, because I went in at 160 on the dot for that fight, and the next night I was 178.
Wow, 20 pounds in one fucking day.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's
pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And you never get overweight. I mean, from what I see.
Yeah, no,
you
know I try mean? To, I mean, I'm still young, you know, my metabolism. Everyone gives me shit still. Oh, you can eat shit. You'll still eat whatever you want. But I can definitely tell now, like, as like just the months of being 24 going, I'll be 25 in September. I can now see like, starting to get I'm starting to put the weight on more. If I like eat like a motherfucker and I don't run or something at night, I'll wake up the next day and I'll be like 180. I'm like, oh shit.
Really?
5 pounds. Like, how the hell did that happen?
How often you weigh yourself?
Every day.
Huh?
Every morning, every night. If I don't have work or something throughout the day, I'll go in the bathroom. If I take a shit or a piss, I get on the scale.
Really?
Not because I like have to check it, but just
you want to know. Yeah, you want to know.
I'm like, I want to know what I weigh right now.
What do you stay at?
Right now, I'm probably like 175.
I'm 180. I'm like, I stay at 185 all the time. Between 182 and 187.
Me too.
You just hold that way?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. For really most of my adult life.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, since I stopped taking steroids. But as a kid, I mean, since I've been in prison, I've been lean all the time. I try not to eat no sugar. I'm on a pretty good diet. You know what I'm saying?
I just saw you eating Hostess cupcakes.
No, but I was shooting them. No. I didn't eat them. So I put them in a syringe.
Yeah, he eats no sugar. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. So,
there's not no sugar. I try not to limit my sugar. Have a little bit of peanut butter in my smoothie in the morning. I mean, I have maybe a little bit of A1 sauce that has some sugar in it. You understand? But I try not to eat no sweets at all. Like, that's my saving grace. So I'll go out to eat, and me and Mike, we're out, we eat, you know, people take us out to dinner. We have something to eat. We eat maybe a little late. I try not to have no potatoes. I try just to have protein. I just try to eat sensible, man. I'm 57 years old. I'm just trying to.
Not a lot of pasta.
Trying to live good.
You look good for 57, though.
Not a day over 56, I don't look. I know that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Fucking Spunk. So Spunky's back in the gym. Has he been there every day?
He, after this podcast, you better get back in the gym.
Yeah, I wanted him to come on. We should fucking FaceTime.
Yeah, you gotta get him on.
He won't answer my FaceTime either.
He's probably
sleeping. Mary right Ryan. Now.
Think he's up? Spunk. He'll know, he won't even fucking answer. Did you see the Snapchat the other day? Come up my memories, Dickie, when he's in the truck. I'm like, what about Spunky? I'm like this. Spunky? Who the fuck, Spunky? Yeah. Spunky's, is he married now?
No.
Pretty much, right?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, kind of, right? That's what he's doing now. He's looking at the phone.
He said something about a chastity belt the other day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
That's what Mike wears when he goes to Columbia.
I said, you're going to go to the feast. He said, well, I got to see if she'll let me.
That's what he said?
Yeah. I says, well, you know, fucking... fucking spizzy.
Was he talking about the girl or was he talking about the Diet Coke? He talked about
the Diet Coke. Both. Yeah. But yeah, Spunky's the best. I got, where are you working out now?
So I work out down Dry Dock, down in the seaport, down at,
it's not everybody Falcon. Fights here?
No, it's everybody fights down there.
All right. Yeah.
So they moved the facility from 15 Channel Street.
Yeah.
In that's the seaport the one I down to, Dry Dock down right. It's like a big old fucking warehouse pretty much. And there's all like businesses and shit in there. It's number 25, like 25 Dry Dock Ave.
So speaking of that, I have a little story, Justin. Right. We're going to veer off course. I had a little thing I used to do in jail and prison where when the doors would crack for a wreck, sometimes I would get someone like, let's say Justin Fine lived across from me. Okay. And his cell door opens and he's out and he's in the shower. I would run in the cell with a cup and I would scoop all the water out of the toilet. And I would leave a nice missile in there. I'd call it dry docking one. Speaking of the old dry dock. And I would walk out of there. And then when everyone was running back in their cells, I'd be in my cell watching, right? To see your reaction, Justin. As you walk in your cell, and the smell hits you in the face, and then you see a nice missile dry docked in your toilet.
How many times you hit the motherfucker? Cocksucker.
So I'm going to head down to Dry Dock Ave. Maybe while I'm there, I'll go in the bathroom and dry dock one for old time.
Scoop all the water out?
For old time.
You know what that is? You know what that's a lot of spare time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to kind of figure out what you're going to do for the
what
day.
What he's saying is when everyone else was showering, he wasn't.
Yeah.
So he was a smelly motherfucker.
Once a week.
Whether he needed it or not.
All right. Well, I got to head down to that gym. And I've been to the old Everybody Fights. Johnny, well, obviously you haven't been. But what a gym.
Let's go down there. Let's check it out.
The new one's even better.
Really?
Yeah.
Huge sauna.
Dude, they got the cold plunge. You wouldn't believe this place.
Yeah, like six different stalls for like showers.
Oh, you shower after you work?
Every now and then.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you
can. Hey, listen, I shower two or three times a day. Girls don't like a smelly guy.
Right? Really?
The girls that I like smelly guys.
Yeah. if you're down Seaport.
But this gym.
They grow them down.
You should see this fucking.
Well, you got to go down.
Oh, it's fucking unreal. So who started it? Wasn't it George Foreman's kid or something? Like who started it?
George Foreman's gym used to be like where all the Everybody Fights was.
Yeah.
And then there's like I think four guys, one of them, Mike Moran, the other one, Dave Bergeron. I forget the other guy's name.
I met Mike Moran.
And they started Everybody Fights. And I think they bought, what I think happened is they bought the old George Foreman gyms all around here because George Foreman moved out to California and started the George Foreman gyms out there. So they basically bought them all here and then they started their own thing here. But I think Everybody Fights has their whole own thing going on now compared to what they did. They must make so much profit. There's so many people going in there.
Yeah.
Like the classes are crazy. On a Saturday at like 10, you walk in, there's 60 people taking a class. 60 people. They will cram them in, figure out how everyone can work out, and there's enough room. Yeah. And there's two floors at the new one. So first floor is like where they do the big classes. There's a boxing ring. But then upstairs, there's a boxing ring that's like kind of ours for all the fighters.
Yeah.
And there's all weights upstairs. It looks like big, like LA Fitness, probably, but way nicer. Everything's always clean. They always have
what's
custodian
the
guys there. I don't know.
I knew you were going to say you didn't know, but like you got to have a fucking
base idea, right?
I wonder what it is.
I don't know. We're better off going to Ultraflex. Chris, give us a free membership.
Hey, just go in there and tell them you know Francis Hogan.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Listen, we ain't afraid to drop names. Be ready for it.
I know everybody. You kidding me? Drop everyone's fucking name. Yeah, I haven't been in there since it was on Channel Street. Last time I was down there, TJ Doney was down there.
TJ Doney, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, TJ, DeLuca, Spunky was there. I think me and Dickie went down. And then I went down there again. Mickey called me up. He says, hey, you want to get on to Everybody Fights Saturday? He's like, what was it, Clemson, Alabama, playing the national championship game. And they wanted Mickey to do the commercial right leading up to the fucking game. So, cause it was kind of like him and Gotti, like they were showing that and Clemson, Alabama, you know, going at each other. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah. And, we went down there and he filmed the commercial for the national championship game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was cool. Fucking Mickey's done a lot of cool
first
shit.
First time I ever met Mickey Ward, I was 15 years old. We were flying to Utah, me and my brother. We were fighting out in like a international tournament they were putting on. And my brother had the window seat and I had the aisle seat because we're brothers and we beat the shit out of each other. So we're not going to sit next to each other. So some poor bastard had to sit between us.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm sitting on my iPod at the time. I'm 15. My brother was 11. We're fucking going at it, swearing and yelling at each other. He's throwing stuff at me. I'm throwing stuff at him. And then the guy's like, oh, you mind if I sit down? And I look up. And then I look back down at my phone and I look back up and there's Mickey Ward standing there. I'm like, holy shit. My brother goes, don't be a dick. It's Mickey Ward. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So he sits down and I'm just like, holy shit. Like I was like 15 years old. You know? Like, I'm looking at him like a superhero. Absolutely. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
you're in that life. So you know better than anybody.
I got to fly to Utah, sitting next to him, and it was the coolest fucking experience. He's like just shooting the shit with me, talking to me about fighting and like – where I want my career to go and all this stuff. And it was like, wow, like I want to do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. Like, it was just a cool experience. And to be from the same area. Cause he was like, I don't really know anyone going out there. I was like, you do now.
Yeah.
The Hogan brothers are going out there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, yeah. Then of course, as time went on, Spunky.
Yeah.
Mark used to bring me up there.
And yeah.
Dickie would do bits with me.
Yeah.
Fucking never ending mitts that would go on for an hour and a half.
30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm like,
I know.
I haven't even heard a bell once.
Yeah. 5 seconds. Shoulders are burning.
That's awesome. Those are great stories.
Yeah, Dickie's fucking, he was a freak, you know, but he was the best fucking trainer, man. You know, when he trained Mickey and get him ready, it would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unreal. And, I was telling someone I was locked up when the Gotti fight, I was locked up for mostly everything, the movie, everything. It sucked. But that night when he fought Gotti, you know, there's a couple of COs and Bill Ricker and they were like, oh, you know, you don't get a chance. I'm like, Mickey's going to fucking stop. Mickey's going to hit him with a body shot. But I always told Mickey, like deep down, I'm like, oh my God,
because
Mickey could be a notorious slow starter.
Yeah.
And it was fucking Arturo Gotti, you know what I mean? It was like, oh man, you know, but I was talking shit. And then the doors cracked for breakfast, like 5 a.m. I'm up all night trying to, you know, radio stations, AM radio station, trying nothing. No one was talking about the fight. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? And the doors cracked and it was the Captain Cleary. And I had the white shirt on. I'm going to fucking get my pancakes in the chow hall. And I go, what happened? He goes, Mickey won a decision. I fucking
loved it. You were like, that was great.
It was great.
That is,
you know,
awesome.
And nothing better. Somebody you grew up with to see him do that. And,
amazing.
And Dickie was just as talented. Yeah. You know, Dickie wasn't a puncher like Mickey. He didn't have that. But he taught him that body shot. I mean, he could punch, but not like Mickey. But Dickie was a world-class fighter. And always in unbelievable shape. And as you know, that's half the battle. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He was always in good shape. Even when he was fucking partying,
yep,
he would just never run out of gas, you know? And, you know, great growing up around those guys. They were like family to me and Boo Boo. And I had a dream about Boo Boo the other night. It was fucking vivid. I get up and I texted my daughter the dream. Because you know you have a dream and you forget it.
As soon as you wake up, you'll lose it if you don't.
It was a crazy fucking dream. But yeah, I texted her. And to see Mickey, you know, accomplished what he accomplished in the movie and everything like that. And I'm hoping he gets in the Hall of Fame. And I know, you know, some people would say, oh, he never had a real bell, like, you know, but just the three fights with Gotti alone and what he's done for the sport and the movie and what he does for the Boxing Hall of Fame every year, he's like the face of it. So many people go there to see him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hoping fucking he gets in there.
Nice.
But yeah, that's about it. Any news, anything you want to say before we go?
Nothing. Just want to touch on the Cullen Walsh thing and the fight that he's having. If him or Fernando Vargas, whoever wins, wants to fight me, I'm 20-0. I got more fights than both of them. So if they want to fight me, I'm sure they're not going to want to fight me, but I'd love to fight one of them and knock them out and then show everybody how much they suck and how great I am. So there's the call out for that. Usually I'm not cocky like that, but after working out and training and doing everything I've been doing, anyone can get it, especially those two. So I actually beat Fernando Vargas Jr. in the amateurs. I dropped him and then I told his dad that he could get it too. So if he fights me, maybe his dad can get it after this next one. But we'll see. He'll have to lose a couple of pounds. Gotta stay off the Diet Coke.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see the fights. You know, the 13th, Penn State is playing Villanova. I wanted to get out of that game, but I do want to get out in Vegas and see Dickey and Callum. And I want to see, obviously, you know, Bud Crawford in the Canelo fight. I'm really pulling for Bud Crawford, but, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And that's the thing about Canelo, too. It kills me that he didn't beat Mayweather. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was so young and everything because he's so good. And I feel like that, you know, that's his only blemish, yeah. Really. I mean, it's not much of a blemish losing to Floyd Mayweather Jr. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, fucking.
I think that was like one of his next steps right there when he fought him.
Yeah.
That it was like after that, he learned so much from fighting him. It was like, all right, who else is going to fight me and beat me like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I will say there's no way Crawford's knocking him out. I mean, he fought Triple G and Triple G hit him with some devastating shots that would have literally killed guys. And
he got robbed. He got robbed, them, Triple G, I think.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think he won the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't agree.
No?
No.
You're going to have to rewatch it. What do you think, Johnny? Get Mike, back to us on that.
I'm going
All right, man. Frank, thank you for coming on.
Thanks,
for
having me.
Justin, awesome. That's 63 awesome. In the books. Awesome.
Are you kidding?
It's all great. Right. Bean shooter, I like the gin, let's go. Bean shooter, it's not a line he doesn't toe. In a world full of dogs, you're gonna need a dog catcher. If you're wearing a mask out there, the fresh air's gonna get you. He always shoots the hip for iced coffee, take a sip, toss it.